Okay.
You're good. Hola.
I want to practice this stuff, right?
Tranquilo, hermano.
Oh, sure.
Hola, hey, bienvenido. Estas el cu... The film cast. Hola, hey, buenvenido. Estos el Q film cast.
No.
Eli, bienvenidos. Esta el cu film cast.
Hola, en bienvenido. Estas el Q Benvido. Film cast.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos.
Exactly. Bienvenidos.
Bienvenido. Hola, bienvenido. Estas el Q film cast. Sí.
Interrupt him a little more. As soon what? As he's done, you're coming in. I'm going to direct here.
Okay. Hola y bienvenidos.
Bienvenidos.
Bienvenido. Bienvenidos. Hola y
bienvenidos.
There you go. Say it again. The Q film cast.
And you cut him off.
Hola.
I cut him off where?
But right when you go to the film cast,
bienvenidos.
Es que en España.
Sí.
It sounds Spanish, man. That's what it is. It's a Spanish movie. Now, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether it's online, nationwide, or worldwide, rather, or nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thank you as always for tuning in. And if you don't yet know, or maybe you've stumbled upon us by chance or divine intervention or something like that, we are the show where we meet regularly, weekly, pick a film from Netflix Instant. We gather here, Jolly Roger Studio, and we tell you what we thought.
Yep.
Easy enough, right?
Yep.
So to anyone else who's never been here before, thanks for tuning in. That's what we do. And this week, we're going to queue up the 2012 film, An Ode to Will Ferrell's Rear End, Casa de mi Padre. Did I say that right?
Mm, yep. Yeah, you got it.
Close enough.
You even said Will Ferrell right.
Man, the pressure's off.
You're right.
I'm going Dutch and cowboy at the same time on this show.
Whoa.
Don't have my notes. This is all natural.
Right.
This is our organic.
Is mother natural.
You know
mother
what this natural. Is? This is our organic episode.
Who are you, sir?
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, as always, I'm Michael, along with James Hard Sub Savage.
Hola, maestro. ¿Cómo está usted?
I have no response. I tried it once. Didn't work earlier in the show. Yeah, I'll do my homework and get back with you.
All right.
Yeah. Just got to go like, who is this?
No, you got to ask me.
That turned into Russian, but I think it's because of the Olympics.
You got to ask me how I'm doing.
Yes.
I don't know how to say doing my thing in Spanish, but I'm doing my thing.
Right.
And then we have the patron saint of quality ponchos.
Hey.
Ponchos today, buddy.
Got it.
Patron
good.
Santo.
I feel looser, not yeah. wet.
I didn't know moisture was a common problem with you.
You only wear a poncho when it's raining.
Oh, I forgot about the poncho part. I was just thinking moisture. Max, tonight it's only appropriate if it's past the guacamole, Johnson.
Donde está la casa de Pepe?
I don't know what that meant. I
Donde está la casa de Pepe?
Oh, my God.
Pepe.
Bail me out, Savage.
Yeah, where's Pepe's house?
Dios mío.
Where's Pepe's house?
Oh, man. Someone just dropped a chalupa on me.
Chalupa.
Adam, the human pinata Rogers, the producer.
La Bamba.
La Bamba.
No, but that's it, guys. So, yeah, we're all here. If you want to keep up with us, there are several ways to do that as well. You have your Twitter, you have your Facebook, right? Just search us, the Q Filmcast. We'll be there. Also, our app. We now have our Android app, free Android app. Search the Google Play Store, as they say.
Yeah.
And Q it's Filmcast, free.
And it's free.
Huh? I got mine.
There yeah. you go.
And it's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Did you know
or
that?
Or your money back.
Yeah, we'll give, actually, you know what? No, we're going to double the money.
That's right.
We'll give you free twice.
Right.
It's going to be so free, you're going to pay us. Also, go to our website as well. I don't know what that meant. I thought it would be fun. Yeah. Go to our website as well, theqfilmcast.net. N-E-T. Yeah, there you can give us some feedback. Let us know how we're doing. We love listener feedback. This is our Casa de mi Padre.
That's right.
I want to say with a Spanish brogue, though. I want to say with an accent.
A Spanish brogue?
Say it with a mustache. Casa de mi Padre. 2012. Yeah, let's get into this thing. Isn't that about the time we do this?
Yeah, that's about what we do right now.
I'm trying to think. I think we're missing something.
Usually you say, and this was a Matt Saint hoodie pick.
That's right. Let's back up just 1 second. This is a Matt Saint hoodie pick. Once more, the 2012 film Casa de mi Padre.
Yeah.
Starring Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell's...
It's Will Ferrell.
Buttocks. And several other people. I don't know if we really need to...
Yeah, Pedro.
And Pedro.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much Pedro?
Yeah. And that big fat dude, it looks like a woman.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Genesis. Really does. It was not Genesis Rodriguez. We promise you that.
Yeah.
She's in this film as well. Yeah. Diego Luna. Written by
Alex Steele.
We're going to class this thing up here in a second.
Andrew Steele.
Alex.
It's Max's brother, right?
Yeah. All you have to know is he's the same guy that wrote Ladies Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that doesn't help. Directed by Matt Piedmont. All right. So, The Currency every week. We don't do a 1 through 10. We don't do stars. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's stupid. We let the film tell us what we want to do. So The Currency this week is revealed by Matt St. Hoodie. What is it? You don't know, do you? I'm going to go mannequins. Mannequins?
Random mannequin?
Why would you say that?
Because you put me on the spot and I had nothing, literally nothing. What? I was going to go butts, but that seems too...
Butts? Wait a second. Wait.
Cheek pinches?
No, random mannequins, man.
Random mannequins were all through the movie.
Oh, okay.
There were random mannequins.
Did you watch the same movie?
You know, there were mannequins. Wait. I'm thinking more animatronics.
No, they're random mannequins.
Okay, random mannequins. Now I'm on board. Now I'm with you. Random mannequins. One through ten.
That's just fun to say. Random mannequins.
That could be like a new tongue twister.
Random mannequins.
All right, so random mannequins. 1 through 10. A Matthew St. Hoodie says that's what we're going to rate with. Now that I am on board with it, pretty brilliant. All right,
off the top of my head.
But before we do any of this stuff, let's get a synopsis of what this film's about. Don't have my notes, but guess what? I do have a producer, and he's the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. He's going to tell us. Ooh, this is like kids gather around.
Dim the lights.
Armando Alvarez has lived and worked on his father's ranch in Mexico his entire life. As the ranch encounters financial difficulties, Armando's younger brother Raul shows up with his new fiance, Sonia. It seems that Raul's success as an international businessman means that the ranch's troubles are over as he pledges to settle all debts his father has incurred. But when Armando calls for Sonia and Raul's business dealings turn out to be less than legit, all hell breaks loose as they find themselves in war with Mexico's most feared drug lord, the mighty
Omza.
That was well done. That was stellar.
Yeah. That was amazing.
No.
That was stellar, man.
I feel like I was in fifth grade all over English. Again.
Yeah, I don't know that it was stellar.
Way to go. Thank you, producer, man. You stepped up. You delivered. That is your synopsis. Ooh.
Oh, goodness gracious.
What is wrong with me?
Most tequila.
Yes, tequila. Blame it on the tequila. All right, so there you go. That's a 2012 film. Casa de mi Padre. It's been on Netflix for a while. Had anybody seen this before we just queued this up?
Me.
Had me. Not.
Nope. You were the only one. You two. I had not seen it. Savage, you?
Nope.
Never. What about you? No?
Never.
All right, so this should be a lot of fun. We're going to see where we landed on this thing. 1 through 10, random mannequins, right?
Mm.
But before we do that, let's get into a trailer from the film. Yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to find one. I have no idea if there's even one in English. And you'll be surprised as we are.
On English.
Yeah, there you go. Here's Casa de mi Padre.
In a corrupt land, there is one man that speaks for an entire nation. Will Ferrell.
You speak American?
I speak the English. Perfect. Mr. D.E.A.
He rides. He fights.
You will have a war. Innocent people will be killed.
He shoots.
Holy.
He gets his woman. Will Ferrell is...
Armando
Alvarez.
With Diego Luna, Gael Garcia Bernal, and Genesis Rodriguez. Casa de mi Padre.
Y ahí lo tienen. And there you have it. And that is... not only an inside joke, that's the trailer for that's the trailer for the 2012 film Casa de mi Padre, which is what we're going to talk about right now. But before we do that, let's get into a little bit of ratings on this thing.
Yeah.
IMDb, 5.5.
Amazing.
Malo gato.
You think that's a little lower than what it should be, Max?
Interesante.
You're just looking
very,
very...
You're going to be talking that Spanish. Yes. You can't have a good show.
It's time to speak American. American.
Yeah, okay. It's a little low.
All right.
Are you kidding me? It's a lot low.
You have Rotten Tomatoes, too, and the fruit doesn't get any fresher on this one because it's 44% from the critics.
That's ridiculous.
It's a little low. 37% from the users. I think I had that right, didn't I, producer? Yeah.
That's because people are idiots.
I think it's because most people can't read.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, most people know
what?
How to read.
You got to read this movie? I'm out.
Mexican food will do that to you.
Yeah. Oh. Nobody wants to read a Will Ferrell movie.
All right, so what's this film? What's this film about? We already get into that. Who's in this film? Well, obviously, it's a Will Ferrell vehicle, right?
And Pedro.
And Pedro. Yeah, actually, yeah, let's talk about that. Efron Ramirez. I think it's the only thing he's ever done beyond Napoleon Dynamite. We're talking about Pedro.
Probably not, but it's Pedro.
Genesis Rodriguez. Max, what do you think of that?
She was awesome. She was. That was her genesis because there was an introduction.
Muy bonita. Muy bonita. Yes. About it.
This, you have Diego Luna. What a name.
Yeah.
I don't think that's of his birthday.
Diego There's... Moon.
Or is in German?
Diego stand
is
for?
It dog moon?
A whale's moon.
A whale's moon.
Actually, let's get into a little bit of did you know, too. A couple quick facts about this film. Did you know that Will, I almost said Will Smith. Will Ferrell.
Will Smith
Ferrell,
can do this too.
For 2 months, he practiced Spanish, and I think he kind of nailed it. The guy's flawless in this thing. What, 1 month?
1 month.
Well, even more amazing.
Even more amazing. Loco.
Yeah.
That is absolutely loco. Did you know that every time a butterfly appeared in this film, someone died?
Whoa.
Max, there's a butterfly. What is
Interesante.
That? That's a moth. Don't worry about it.
Interesante.
What does a moth mean?
All right. Enough of those stupid facts. Let's talk about what we thought of this film. 1 to 10. Random, lifeless mannequins. What are you going to go with on this thing, man?
I'm going to give it a 7.
You a high 7, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Solid
yeah.
7.
A hard sub, 7.
Hard sub, 7.
All right, hard sub. Let's go counterclockwise. What are you going to give the 2012 film Casa de mi Padre? Four.
I'll give it a 7 as well, man. I really, yes. I liked it. I liked it.
I can't believe that even just happened. I do. I'm surprised. I'm blown
yeah,
away.
I was what? Expecting him to say I had to watch it through the door
you don't
of
know
my
me?
Toaster oven.
You don't know me?
My Easy Bake oven.
I was watching on a portable television. I had to watch in the reflection of my mailbox.
I closed my eyes and turned my back and watched it through the back of my head.
No, 7.
Seven,
it,
all right.
Yeah, it was a neat little film.
Man, this is you know what's amazing about this? If you don't know, this is Valentine's Day, and we just made a love connection for about the first time between Hoodie and Savage. Doesn't happen often. Max, hold the guacamole Johnson or pass it on this day. What you going to give the 2012 film?
7.
7 mannequins.
Random mannequins.
Random mannequins.
Random mannequins.
Right. El mannequin don't. De Ramon. Random.
You just ripped
it. Don't go to Adam. Don't you give us your pick.
Let me give you mine?
Yeah, let's hear yours first because Adam's going to blow it out.
All right. Unos, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Cinco. I'm going 6. I'm going 6. I'm going 6 random mannequins.
All right.
Maybe that's you bump bad. Me up. Maybe you bump me up.
We will.
Well,
who knows?
The three of us are at Siete, so
yeah, we're the three amigos.
But this guy that gave it a 6 didn't even notice that there were random mannequins all throughout the movie.
Right.
I was so blinded by the buttocks in this film. Right. Those were real buttocks. Please tell me they were.
Well, there were some mannequin buttocks.
Greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast. What are you going to give this film?
This is just like my ex-girlfriend. Flat and no sense of humor.
Oh.
2.
2.
Oh.
29. Thanks, 29. Adam.
Oh. You're welcome.
Wait, when you said no sense of humor, your ex-girlfriend had no sense of humor?
Yes.
Apparently you have no sense of humor.
Yeah.
Ha!
You're watch this mean. Movie.
Yeah.
It had no sense of humor.
All right.
You'll have time to defend that one, because that's what we do as well. We're going to go around right now, and we're going to talk about why we landed on what we landed. We're going to defend our conclusion. Let's go back to where we started from. That is Matt St. Hoodie. Go. What?
What?
7. You give it 7 lifeless mannequins.
Yeah. Well, yep.
You want to talk about it? I mean, that's a decent score for this film.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect going in. I assumed it was a comedy. I didn't know it would all be in Spanish, by the way, the first time I saw this. So that
really?
No, I had no idea. Even though the title's in Spanish and it is Mexican. But right from the get-go, when you see Will Ferrell like in the field and he, you know, bends over to pick up the cow and you do a split shot and it's totally a stunt double and then he picks up the cow and turns around. It's a complete fake, different color. I said, I'm going to like this movie a lot.
Yeah.
So, sold.
Yeah, you know, it is an odd. The first time I saw this pop up, like the cover art of it, I thought, yeah, what is this? You got Casa de mi Padre. It's a Spanish film, but there's Will Ferrell, man.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it was interesting right from the very first image of it. Where'd we go from here? We went to Savage, didn't we?
Yeah.
Art Sub Savage. All right, you gave it a 7 as well. Are you just going to reiterate what he said? Or you
yeah, no, I mean, it's you see that in the sweeping vista. It's like it's trying to give you this old world kind of Western feel.
Yeah.
A little south of the border, you can tell with the music, and then there's that, you know, that sight gag, that immediate sight gag, and it starts off with Christofferson doing if it sounds Spanish, it's what it is. It's a Spanish movie.
And that was a playoff
Sam Elliott.
Yeah. No, it was Christofferson.
That was a playoff one of his songs.
Yeah, Bobby McGee.
He said, this is country. It's a country song.
Yeah.
See, I even missed that joke, and I still love the movie.
And then that little sight gag that they did. And then Will Ferrell. It's something else, man. It's he really nailed this. So, and it's a fun little movie. So,
yeah,
seven.
Fun little movie.
I want to jump in here and say that I was so positive that James would hate this movie that I even wrote down, James will say this is racist. And then I did a whole page with like what James will say and how I'll combat that with.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no joke. Positive that James was going to call this a racist movie, and I was like, I'm going to go head to head with him on this one. But
if you're a regular listener, if you know this at all, that's funny. Listen, if we don't read that on the show, please let me borrow those later.
Oh, yeah, no,
is there anything about American sensibilities on there?
Oh, I may still make some of those points.
Oh, wait, no, yeah. Now that he thinks
about it. Those points may be made.
Now that he thinks about it.
Right.
Let's go over to Max. Pass the Guacamole Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Talk about your seven.
I thought this movie was brilliant. It was completely brilliant.
Brillante.
The best thing about it was, and I can tell you why a lot of people didn't like it. They get those terrible scores from mostly from users on IMDb.
You forgot to turn on subtitles.
No, not that. They're too stupid. They're literally too stupid to get the movie. They want everything explained to them and spoon-fed, and not one time in this entire movie do they let on that the whole thing is a joke.
You do realize it's Valentine's Day.
No, I hate people. but no, that's what's so great about it. They never let on it. Not one point in the movie did they let on that this is a joke. They play it completely serious, completely straight, and every joke comes through as almost a non-joke, which makes the whole thing even funnier.
Hmm. Well, there's some jokey jokes in it.
No,
there's not many, but
the laugh was a jokey joke.
The laugh was a jokey joke.
Yeah.
The throw in the bottles.
The sight gags. There's a couple sight gags.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, they didn't really register as jokes. It just registered as funny.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, I know what you're going in. I got a similar sense about what you're saying.
Adam, go. Two.
Dos.
This just wasn't good. It wasn't funny. So you want to insult me, brother?
Nope.
No,
it's muy malo.
By the time there was a joke came on that I actually enjoyed, I lost so much interest in this entire movie. It was pathetic.
Interesante.
Were you saying you were bored?
No. I was miserable.
Really? You were miserable? I thought you might really
this
like this
sucked.
Film. Okay, flat out sucked. He's going to this suck. You know, it sucked.
No. But you gave it a two.
It was stupid.
As you would say.
What joke did you like?
Yeah. The one with the eyeglasses where you can see the camera crew in them.
Oh, that was a good one.
And I like that. I was like, huh. Oh, yeah. That would have been good.
Gotta give it
he was
that.
Eating
all right, let me ask you this,
yeah,
though.
That was great.
Because, you know what, this film, it's built around Will Ferrell doing a Spanish-speaking movie. And that's like the big backbone here. Did you like that? I mean, that's kind
I
of...
I would have been fine with that.
That's kind of a standalone concept
films
in itself.
I watch quite a bit of foreign films.
Asian films.
No, my second favorite movie of all time is Pan's Labyrinth, which is a Spanish film.
Yeah.
Boom. And then Orphanage.
Interesante.
So, that doesn't bother me. It's just there was nothing funny about this thing
really?
At all.
Okay.
No, and I know what he's saying.
I don't.
All right, well, listen, let's get back to that. We're going to talk about some of these scenes. We're going to get you an opportunity to jump in there and talk about your glasses. We're going to get you an opportunity to talk about some of the scenes as well. I'm going to tell you what I thought of this film. Ready? Here's what I got out of this one. I don't know if I've ever seen a film do so much with so little. I mean, seriously, the thing that gets me about this film is that the script is so bad and so weak that I actually marvel at the fact they actually take something to make something out of this thing, which I think they did.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is like the hardest working film I've ever seen in my life. It's like it's like the little film that could. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I mean, the director probably rolled his eyes, I think, when he saw the thing. He's like, you want me to take this and do what with this? I mean, it is a weak, hollow script. And the window dressings on this thing just never stop. I mean, it's continual window They squeeze everything out of this. Like, even the opening credits are just like, you know, balls out.
The best.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's like fantastic.
Right.
So my tip my hat completely. No,
Mexico
no,
scope.
Wait a second.
Mexico
uh-oh.
Scope.
Yeah. I tip my sombrero. Back up. Tip my sombrero to this film because it went to bat. It's like, soldier on, guys. We got this crap to work with. We're going to make something out of this one. We're going to stop in the middle of it and do all this clever stuff. We're going to get Will Ferrell to do a Spanish accent through the whole thing. We're going to make the credits epic on both the front and the end. And I mean, it just never stopped. But the material is so unoriginal that the flavor worked in the end. But bravo to the cast, man. I say bravo to the cast. This was a good, well put, however you say that. You know, I do think that Ferrell doing this in Spanish really, really worked. And I thought it could have really, really failed. And the fact that he did it so flawlessly is what made it funny.
Yeah.
It's called editing.
Well, then they mentioned
I don't think so. I mean, he did. It's a great performance by really Ferrell was. In this really thing. Was. I mean, they say it took a month to learn the dialogue, but if I thought this was in any way edited up.
If I had no idea who Will Ferrell was, I'd have been, oh, that's some American dude.
Yeah, I mean, through the whole.
Yeah. No, that's what I did think.
Yeah. Well, you know, through the whole thing, I'm kind of looking at this going, man, bravo to Ferrell. This is a great performance in a really bad script. And once again, it just had a lot of heat to it, had a lot of energy to it. I really expected this thing to fall off the cliff, and it teetered a few times. I mean, because it's just so unoriginal. I mean, even in the beginning scene, you're seeing literally a ripoff of Austin Powers.
I think that was the point.
The laugh, huh?
The unoriginality.
That laugh was a ripoff of 100 things before. Exactly. And that's the whole point of the movie.
It's like they used every cliche thing in they the could. Because I think the director knew this was just a bad dose of material to work with.
But it was written that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see that way and it didn't work in its favor.
It's ironic in that way.
Very ironic. Yeah. Okay, but I did, in a way, I'll get into some of the scenes later, but it kind of took a little bit away from the film.
I think if the story was too good, then you would have started paying too much attention to the story and not enough attention to the mannequins.
Wait a second.
right.
In the background.
And we're going to get into those. That's a good point right there, though. Maybe I should give this, I might get a 7 here before it's all said and done.
Up to a 30.
You know, but the obvious use of bad props, too, really worked. I mean, it was just like...
Oh, this was the best continuity director I've ever seen in my life.
Did you not find this
That would film? Be... I mean, really, to be the continuity director... Is that what am I saying? That's right. Anyway, this movie, the opposite of what you're normally doing. So you're literally moving things around between shots and changing shirts and putting cigarettes and where, you know, I think that would be the best job.
This thing had great comic timing, and it didn't try to pretend to be something that it wasn't at all.
Right.
Guys, we don't have good-looking animals here, so here's some really bad ones, you know, that old thing.
They didn't have any animals.
Here's a stuffed tiger. Make it work.
I'm telling you, man, it's it's a hard-working film. And I'm going to just say, if you like Ferrell at all, you really should see it.
Yeah.
That was the best part of this film. Yeah. It does sort of cross the line into respectability, I guess, in the end, you know, despite all of it. I just think it fights the good fight with plenty of Will Ferrell's Las Nalgas. Which is,
wouldn't that be his buttocks?
It's his buttocks in Spanish. There you go.
Was that his buttocks?
I would imagine. He's shown his buttocks in several films.
Most films he shows his buttocks.
I mean, he was Frank the Tank. He went streaking.
You know? You don't think he had a stunt butt?
That's Step Brothers.
No.
Right.
I mean, no, this is Will Ferrell. He is all out for it. He is there to make the Ricky bring Bobby. The funny.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we should listen to what Will Ferrell sounds like in Spanish right now.
Al que le llamen la onza. Yo me llamo Armando Álvarez. Le estoy hablando, onza.
Mira que me sorprende verte vivo, ¿eh?
Quiero a la muchacha. Déjala ir y los dos nos vamos.
Mira que te puedo matar de un solo tiro, ¿eh?
Solo te daré una oportunidad. Suelta a la mujer y te dejo vivir.
That's a clip from the 2012 film Casa de mi Padre.
Padre. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah. Padre Jesus, I mean. Sorry.
Lo siento, Jesus Padre.
Casa de mi Padre, starring Will Ferrell, directed by the guy who directed Ladies Man. No, he wrote Ladies
Man.
Yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter. Yeah. All right, so we're going to get a little bit of these scenes, man. Let's bounce it around. This is where we kind of free for all. Right? Lower the bar, talk about it. I'm going straight to Odie, man. Talk about something, man. Talk about a couple of these scenes. Something.
Come on, Don Poncho.
There are so many scenes. I know which one I want to go to. Me and Max kind of touched on it a little bit. But the scene where they initially meet, what's her face, Sophia.
Sophia, you talking about Genesis Rodriguez?
Yes, where she's introduced. And Armando, Sophia, and his father are standing in the living room with Raul. And this scene is way more complicated than you would think it is. Because the whole shot, Raul is never pictured with any of them. So it's shot like they lost his footage and they had to redo it. So he's standing in front of, he's like completely offset. He's just in front of
a wall,
a purple like drape. It's just brilliant. I mean, the whole, it's really shot like they just had to do a redo. They didn't have the set anymore. They didn't have any of the actors. They're like, we just need you to come in, stand in front of this curtain and we need to redo your part.
Right. Yeah. That kind of sets the whole flavor for the film. That is really the spirit of the film.
The
yeah.
best part of it, was when he's like, Sophia, come here. And she walks over, and she's wearing a completely different dress and holding a completely different cocktail.
See, I didn't notice that. Wait.
I mean, it's just completely...
Yeah, when he calls her over, he's got, like, a glass of whiskey, and when she gets there, he's got, like, a this huge glass with an umbrella and a piece of coconut.
Now, listen, listen. I did notice that.
Right.
I did
right.
notice that. Okay, excellent, man. What about you, Max? You know, I want to talk a little bit about, once again, the performances. We talked about Will Ferrell. I think everybody thinks he's good. Except, well, Adam, never mind.
Yeah.
He's loco. Loco gringo.
Loco gringo.
Yeah, but let's talk about the other performances here. Genesis Rodriguez and the guy from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Pedro.
Luno Muno, whatever his name is.
Luno Muno.
Is everybody in this movie named Luna?
Right. Yeah, so.
But I'm gonna throw to you on the performances, too, because sometimes you really get into the essence of these guys. When I say guys, I mean actors. Come across on film. did in the end, did the performances keep up with Will Ferrell? I thought they all did.
I thought everybody did. I thought everybody did. A lot of this stuff in the movie is a takeoff on these Mexican
telenovelas.
Telenovelas, TV movies. Yeah. That's why I like
the. Is there an actual name for that? Telenovelas?
Yeah, that's what they're called. Telenovelas.
Okay.
And they're always completely overdramatic, melodramatic things.
Yeah.
You know, these close ups. And that's why they were always pointing the camera at the sun.
Right, right.
You know, to hide the fact that all this stuff looked cheap. And they were always standing in front of these painted backdrops.
Right.
They were so painfully, obviously painted backdrops.
Right, right.
But yeah, some of these guys had actually been in some of those things. They knew what the joke was.
Okay.
And they all played to it perfectly.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, when you say it like that, I thought that worked just because it was funny. But they actually had a reference for that. We're going to make it look like these Telemundo shows or whatever you call them.
They actually interviewed Will Ferrell. So I was going to say Will Smith again, too. But they asked him in the interview, who did you look to as far as soap opera actors for reference with this? He's like, I have no idea. And they were like, really? They were super disappointed, thinking that he had done a lot of studying because his portrayal of this was so...
So spot on.
So spot on.
I didn't want to say it.
Right. I love it. I like the scene where Armando and Sophia go horseback riding.
Oh, God. You know what? I know exactly. The hobby horse, literally. The hobby horse.
Literally on fake horses.
Right.
And he's telling her, oh, you ride well. And she starts talking about this awful life with her uncle. And he's so disinterested. Just interesante.
Interesante.
Oh, my uncle used to burn me with cigarettes. And then he kicked me out of my home and his stepmother would whip me. Interesante.
Yep,
and then he says, so about your uncle.
About your uncle, yeah. You know what's good about that scene and what I like about this film was it wasn't just like, obviously, here's a hobby horse. You had to look for it, which made it brilliant.
Because
it
wasn't like... You didn't have to look for
it. Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't like front and center. I mean, all these subtle things made it really, really work even more in that way. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but they weren't so subtle.
It wasn't so ham-fisted.
I saw it at the bottom of my screen.
I get your point. They didn't beat you over the head with it.
It
was just there, and if you noticed it, great, and if you didn't...
See the way you said it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. It was just there, and it worked. Yeah. Savage, I'm throwing over to you, man. What do you got?
No, I really dug it. I mean, I didn't know the fact that Ferrell only studied for a month. When it first came on, I mean, I really thought that it was going to be jokey Spanish from Ferrell. I thought it was going to be like the American guy in here. It's like, grassy ass. I really thought it was going to be jokey Spanish. And then he's so flawless. His Spanish is so flawless. It's like, if you didn't know, it's like a straight narrative Mexican film. I think that rings to back what you said. It's fairly hollow as far as plot points and things. The story is hollow. It's cliche and it's the honor of the family of the rancher, and, you know, the brothers. It's a story you've heard through the millennia. It's, you know, whatever. But the obvious sight gags from the jump, from the calf switch, and then the random mannequins, and then the continuity problems. Not problems. I mean, they're decisions.
Continuity perfectos.
Right. And then, you know, the just horribly bad animatronic things. It's, you know, there's enough jokes there, but the actual story and the actual acting, they're not playing for jokes.
Right. Okay.
It's like Max said, I think there's a truth to this. If you don't get why this is funny, then I don't want to say you're too stupid, but
I'll say that.
there's the whole thing is funny. The premise is funny. The audacity to try to pull this off is what's funny. And to do it so straight-faced, but then so slapstick at the same time, it really sold me on it. And Ferrell, I mean, Ferrell's a powerhouse in this thing, man. It's like his Spanish is flawless. And just the colors and the washing and the cliche of everything. I can go on and on. I mean, this is a really, really fun watch.
And, you know, you're talking a little bit about the colors. You're talking about Will Ferrell and all the stuff that is obviously good about the film. And we really haven't talked about some of the sight gags. I mean, you're talking about the essence of...
Oh, there's,
you
know, a ton of them.
So, I mean, you've talked about really good filmmaking here, knowing exactly what to do with this material.
Yeah. Everything's intentional. There's nothing that's off the cuff here. If it seems off the cuff, it's not. Everything about this movie was a conscious decision by the filmmakers to do exactly what they did.
And that brings a lot of credit to this film particularly, because that's not usually what you think you're going to get into first off on this film.
No.
Is that it's a well-put-together film. That's what I say it was the hardest working film I've seen. They went to bat for this thing, and they pulled off a really well-executed joke. The whole thing is one big well-executed joke.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up to 7 before this is over, aren't I?
You should. The scene in the bar where he lights two cigarettes.
To me, that was the weakest.
Where did
thing.
They get the dirt? They kept pouring dirt out of their hands and they're sitting in the middle of a bar.
This is my land. That was hilarious, actually.
I'm me dad. You know what?
We've gotten to all this and haven't even talked about a tiger yet, which is coming. It's coming. Now, producer, you're looking very pensive over there. And listen.
Adam Dos Roger.
What did you think of all the side gags? What I mean by side gags, I mean all those little things like where the dirt come from. Is that why'd they go with such an obviously fake tiger, the hobby horse, the one glass in one scene, switch it over, now she has a goblet, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Nothing.
They just did it, and honestly, it just wasn't funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, it's not something, it's the same thing.
Apparently you don't like Canadian Slims.
Why do you hate Mexican people?
That was great.
Why do you hate Mexican people?
Yeah.
Right.
Racist. No, all these jokes
were your notes for Adam, right?
All these jokes were the same thing you've seen in movies before. It's nothing original in this entire thing at all.
You know what, though? He has a point there. Remember in the beginning I said, everything's been done before, but this had a little bit of guacamole on it.
That's because they included everything that's ever been done.
But they knew that's what they had. And they made it to their advantage. So, yeah. The way you saw it, I understand. I kind of saw it that way, but I'm going this way with it because they used it perfectly.
What about the breakdown? What about the middle of the movie breakdown? The freeze frame and the Barbie dolls and the.
What was that?
Because we had a very cool scene here. Yeah,
and the director apologized.
Yeah, in the middle of the movie, they stop and just say, look, this stuff's too cool.
We fed meth to the lions.
Yeah, we killed the lion. We had this epic scene where the lion eats the tiger and all this. Funny stuff, man. But I like that scene a lot too. What about you there?
What about even like the bad edits where they start cutting from one scene to another? Like he starts to pick his stuff up when he's camping, and it's just like this piece of film that's not supposed to be in there just gets left in
like three times in a
like,
row.
Like, that kind of stuff. You've seen some of these movies. That stuff is actually that actually happens in these things.
Yeah,
but
good.
You know, and Adam's point. I've seen this all before. You like. What's that awful, terrible movie, which I can't say it's awful and terrible because I refuse to watch it, A Haunted House. You thought that was funny.
It was funny.
But that's all been done before. There's nothing original in it.
I had a good time enjoying it. A lot better than this.
Okay, you know what the difference between that movie and this movie is? That movie spoon-fed you and told you what you're supposed to laugh at. This one did.
You know what I think a good way to say this is it's an unoriginal movie done in a very original way. Did something new with it. I mean, did something completely fresh with it, right?
Yeah, it did. I mean, you're dealing with archetypes. You know, the two brothers, the prodigal son, and then the go-around, come-around thing. I read this interesting thing in a book today. I was reading today, and it's like, what goes around comes around, and sometimes you get what's coming around, and sometimes you are what's coming around.
And when you say archetype, an archetype is what a stereotype comes from. It's basically
kind of.
Yeah,
well,
yes.
I mean, an archetype is the epitome of a stereotype.
Right.
And Farrell's character, you know, again, with the prodigal son and then the slacker son, the brother thing, it represents that. And so all these themes, these thematic things are represented in this thing with the complete over-the-top melodramatic thing that the Mexican telenovela thing does, but with the humor. I mean, it's the jokiness of Hollywood making fun of this thing. And again, it's completely intentional. This is a smart movie in its stupidity.
Yeah, exactly.
If
exactly
that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Mexico is the best to go.
Now he's speaking American. I understood that one. Let's talk about a couple more of these scenes. I want to talk about the one that you based your top three on, because even that, it went on too long.
Way too long.
But perfectly placed. It went on too obvious, but obviously funny. We're talking about the butt scene.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you've seen this film, you know what I'm talking about.
And that was the only thing that they showed were two butts.
But you know, and here's what's funny about it. You know, usually when you show those scenes like hands rubbing the butt,
he's
karate chopping the butt, and she's squeezing it like viciously, and it's like,
and then
I mean, that was fun.
And then they're laying down, and he's groping a mannequin. And
right.
Okay. It's like, what is going on?
The first time you saw this film, did you laugh as loud as I did? Because I literally laughed out loud.
Rolled.
Yeah. It's the first time I've ever stopped a film and said, I want to see this man's butt again. Actually, can I confess?
That's a lot.
I have several films like that. But no, I'm just joking. Okay.
Right.
But that was funny to me. Yeah, what else was I going to bring? Another question I want to ask you. Yeah, the tiger scene, the animatronic scene.
Yeah.
Actually, let's talk about this first. The great use of music in this film. Remember the, what do you call it?
The campfire song.
The campfire song, yeah.
That is an epic scene.
It really is a great song.
Yeah. Would you say that's the strongest scene in the film?
Y'all no say.
Don't know what that means. Is that yes? I agree with you.
Say. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Y'all no say.
I don't know.
Y'all no say.
Y'all no say. Why does the turtle move so slow?
Y'all no say.
And I love that they were sitting around a very obviously fake campfire.
Right.
And they weren't playing their instruments at all. They were all holding that one chord and just barely moving it around. Yeah. The guy wasn't hitting the trumpet solo. It was great. Yeah, the trumpet solo was... First off, it was a great trumpet solo. Right? Whoever played that was just going off.
You know what we need to do? We need to stop right here and listen. I'm going to spare you. There you have it. You know what? I'm not going to spare you. E-I-E-L-O T-N-N.
T-N-N.
E-I-E-I-O.
There you have it, though. There's a little, there's a clip there from the film. Once again, 2012. Casa de mi padre. And it wasn't funny because of anything that was being sung. It was the look on his face. Almost orgasmic. He was in ecstasy, just singing this song.
Pure joy.
And then.
Every Will Ferrell movie.
No.
And that's why he's awesome.
You know what? I would put this in his quiver of things to as far as arrows of perfection in his career.
Yeah, I know what a quiver is.
I didn't know it was an arrow of perfection.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's nice. I like it.
Let me tell you what's funny about that right there. I threw out the word quiver and I thought, it's like, oops, I went a little too far here. This better make sense.
No, there was some panic on your face.
Yeah, so like, oh, I said quiver. I guess arrows of perfection in his career.
You underestimate the intelligence of our audience.
Right. I underestimated my own intelligence. No, but this animatronic tiger comes in. Max, talk about that.
Yeah, Max.
I would barely call it animatronic. It's probably had a guy with a stick.
Right, maybe a puppet.
Behind it. Yeah, it was more like a puppet, maybe.
Stuffed animal with some stuffing taken out and a hand put into it.
What do you say? When they saw the tiger, says, oh, wait, there's a white tiger or a white panther or whatever.
No, I want to kill it.
I want to kill it. He says, no, don't kill it. This is my my inspiration or whatever.
My spirit animal.
Right. He says, what did he say? He says, don't shoot it. He said something. Oh, yeah, now because I can't kill it or something. It was fun.
But you know what, though? It was actually one of the strangest looking props I've ever seen because in passing, it almost did look real. It wasn't fake enough, but it wasn't quite real enough. It was just in this weird realm that I've never seen a puppet look before, and it was just beautifully hilarious to me.
It was just so out of place,
odd.
I think.
Yeah. Beautifully odd. I like that. That's what it was. Yeah. All right, Matt, you also brought up the wedding scene.
I did.
Yeah. The wedding scene. And that's one of those cliches, once again.
Yeah, if it's a Mexican movie, you have to have a wedding
Someone's
scene.
Someone's getting shot at the wedding. Yeah. Shot at the wedding. But you said that was to its favor. You want to talk about this scene.
It was one of my all-time favorite scenes ever.
Seriously, man.
I loved it. Well, of course, she's floating through, floating down the aisle. There are mannequins in the audience.
The seats.
Everyone dies, which I love.
And no, the one smoking guy.
Okay. Explain that to me.
Right.
But that was a great part where the camera pulls back and she's haloed like the Virgin Mary.
Yeah,
and
that's Guadalupe Maria.
My bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that's great. Then it cuts over and you see the white rose with blood dripping off of it. And then the guy in the background is just like probably a producer, you think, just like hanging out watching it, smoking a cigarette. I'm like, what is
Did you get the idea? Everybody had a really good time making this film.
I should hope so. I would have loved to have been somewhere on this thing.
When I left this film, I thought, if they handed me a script and handed me Will Ferrell and handed me these guys, I'd probably make this film the same way.
I don't think I could have made it this
way. I don't think I could have made it this
I would have hoped to have made it the same
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I like the fact that who's the brother? Raul?
Raul.
He had a cigarette. in his hand.
The
he was smoking
time.
The entire movie.
Yeah.
Even at the, when he was waiting for her to come up the
right.
aisle.
Right.
Yeah. He's smoking. He puts his arm around it.
That's right.
And, even when he's dying.
Yeah, and then when he dies at the end, he asks for a cigarette and says, I need to quit. <That's> no, give me a...
Yeah. What gives you one of those horrible rolled cigarettes.
Also, Will Ferrell can never roll a cigarette.
Oh, the thing looked like a pipe cleaner bent in about 14 different directions.
It's like a piece of notebook paper wrapped up.
When they're outside talking, and he goes, tobacco falls out, and they're all laughing. And she comes up, says, oh, what are y'all laughing about? Well, we can't tell you. Oh, why? Well, we were laughing about you.
Yeah, you know, so what about the, did you like the little get? Enough. That's not that. Oh, he's playing along. What did I show him up for?
Yeah, right.
Interesante.
His comic timing is just horrific.
Yep. What about the dynamic between the father, where all he does is rip Will Ferrell to saying,
cliche
you're the
perfectly.
Stupid
yeah.
son, and yeah, cliche.
If only my other son were here.
Yeah.
Raul.
Raul, there he is.
And when they saw the drug deal, they're all mortified. It's like, oh, Raul is coming. Oh, Raul. And they all just chipper right up. And then they just sink below the rock, and you can still see the top right. of their hat.
And he takes his hat
takes
off.
That was so good.
Everything was so intentional. I mean, nothing was off the cuff. I mean, every bit of this was 100% scripted and planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the brilliance of it. It really is. It takes a lot of work to be this dumb.
Yeah, because you had to thread a needle on this thing. I mean, there's only one way this thing could have been funny.
Right.
And I think this was the way. I think this was it. Yeah, it wasn't a very organic film. This was almost methodical. I mean, it was very...
No, it was clearly methodical. Yeah, and I think where it lost the American audience, and I hate to even sound like this, is I think they don't like to read their movies.
Oh,
they
I don't want to read about them. That.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to read.
Okay, maybe. All right, maybe the average person going to the theater. Ah, it's a subtitle one. But
and,
as far
and some
as,
things don't translate correctly.
But as far as people
I don't
do,
think
that
this
do,
movie translated correctly.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, some of the things that they were saying, I don't speak a lot of Spanish. I speak American.
Right.
But for the most, I mean, I know a couple.
But what didn't translate to you?
I literally don't think in a couple scenes, as an inside joke to maybe Spanish-speaking folks, that they literally just didn't translate the movie correctly.
How would you know that, though, if you don't speak Spanish?
Because I know what, like, padre means. You know, I know that's father. So I know some words, like three. But I'd hear them say that, but it wouldn't be in the sentence. And I'm like, where is that father?
Padre.
Does.
Padre. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know what? That's funny. We should have. We should get the pulse of someone who does speak Spanish. Do you think that would be funny to them?
Would imagine so.
Are the sensibilities completely for an American audience, or is it more for a Spanish-speaking audience?
No, it's clearly for an American audience.
Is it? Okay.
Why don't we ask a Twitter follower?
They would absolutely say that Ferrell butchered,
See, I will.
Butchered this,
the
Spanish
language.
Yeah, I would. They even mentioned it in the movie. That,
yeah,
he said, you know, I love you, but your accent is horrible.
You know, that would be a funny experiment. Turn the sub off and have someone who has no concept of English watch it, only speak Spanish. Other room, we watch it, and who would laugh more? Who would laugh more?
We would laugh more.
You think so?
Yeah, because
American sensibilities.
I don't know. I could see him.
Well, he's Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
we're laughing
I mean,
at him
but
doing
he's
this.
He's not Will Ferrell.
A Spanish
movie.
Guy watching that has to be hilarious. It's almost like a Jerry Lewis effect. I mean, here's a total
Maybe.
American
okay.
goof.
Yeah,
Maybe.
Because this
Maybe.
Is stuff that he's going to understand more than I would say that we would, or
yeah.
he would at least connect to.
It's a curious question, though, isn't it?
Other than
yeah,
the sight gags,
guy.
Which he might think were just cheap.
Yeah, I might just think, oh,
Adam,
cheap.
You need to go learn Spanish and then watch this film, and then you get back with us.
We'll get on that.
For you.
We'll give you a month, because Will Ferrell
no.
did it.
Hi, caramba.
He speaks turtle.
If it sounds Spanish, man, that's what it is. It's a Spanish movie.
Casa de mi Padre. That is the film we've been talking about. Earlier, we gave our 1 through 10...
Random mannequins.
Random mannequins. I kind of like the way I said that.
Yeah.
1 through 10, random mannequins. I'm going to go up on mine, guys. I'm going to go to 7.
All
I'm
right.
going to jump on the 7 train. Adam, you are the caboose.
Adam actually said he's going to 5.
No, I'm sticking with 2 because that's what this was, a number 2.
A number 2.
All this
nice.
Pre-written stuff that Adam has is just...
All right, guys, we have... that's 30. It gives us a score of 30 out of 50.
Anybody else going up?
No.
I'm sticking right now.
There's a 30 on that.
There's
one,
four
guys.
Of a kind, man. That's a winning hand.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah,
I would say it is. So if you want to see this film, it is streaming on Netflix now. It is Casa de mi Padre, 2012, starring Will Ferrell, his buttocks, and Genesis Rodriguez.
You can find it in the comedy or the foreign section.
Isn't that funny?
Netflix.
It's awesome.
I think we can recommend it. If you listen to the
highly
film,
recommend.
If you say highly recommend, I'm going to go recommend. You're going to get what you want out of this thing. there's some more tread on the tires than it probably at first deserves, but it's a good watch.
Yeah, so, break out your reading glasses. You're going to need to read, unless you speak Spanish.
This inspired our top three. I'm going to see if I'm going to say this right for you, Hoodie.
Oh, it's got to be perfect.
Top three. I was just going to say top three nude scenes you wish you'd never seen.
Ever, never, ever.
Ever, top never, three ever. Nude scenes you wish you'd never seen. Never, ever, ever, never, never, ever.
Ever.
Ever. Okay. Ever. So you get the concept here.
Ever.
These are ones that you remember, not in a good way. This is not Phoebe Cates. Okay.
No.
Go, Hoodie. There it is, Poncho. You go first. Number three. What is your number three nude scene in film that you wish you'd never seen? Never, ever, 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 never.
Ever, never. Michael Douglas in Behind the Cabal Blah, blah, blah.
Did not see this.
I can't say that word.
Candelabra.
So, candelabra, thank you. Behind the candelabra.
Now, the fact that he's actually portraying Liberace's buns, does that make it worse?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's next to Matt Damon's naked buns. It's like, come on.
At least there was no Goodwill humping.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
Leave it. It's staying. It's staying. Yeah. Savage.
Well, to pick up on the Goodwill Hunting theme, Robin Williams and Prince of...
Fisher King.
Fisher King.
Oh, wait. That's,
yeah, the Fisher King, the turnaround in the park. It's like, whoa, man.
And then
what was that? What was that?
We thought of Robin Williams naked.
And then I think Jeff Bridges, they end up getting naked together later in the film.
All right. It's like, producer, did you see this film, Fisher King?
I love that film.
That's a great film. That's a great choice. Although I don't know if this is one you necessarily wouldn't want to see ever.
I don't need that. I don't need that. Robin Williams is a hairy man.
He's a hairy man.
Not enough trannies. Yeah.
He looks like the backside of a lint roller. Let me just tell you, Robin Williams. Right. Max, and then
Hold the guacamole.
Top three nude scenes you wish you'd never seen, never, ever, ever. Number three.
God rest his soul, Philip Seymour Hoffman. God, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Yeah,
honorable mention.
Oh,
terrible.
I did not need to see the Pillsbury Doughboy humping Marissa Tomei. I really did not.
Makes it bad is that it was Marissa Tomei. Yeah, that makes it bad. Yeah, I mean that's an honorable mention for sure, especially that we lost them.
Still, I didn't need to see him.
No,
that was rough.
He's watching you right now. Like,
and if you haven't,
he's probably agreeing with me. Yeah, you're right. I probably should have done it.
And the thing is, that's one of my all time favorite films. But the thing about that scene, that's the first scene.
That is the first scene you see in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's bad. Yeah, great film though. Fantastic.
Oh, I love the movie. Yeah,
love the actor, love the film. Producer, I'm going to go over this way. What's your number three?
The Simpsons.
Really?
I did not want to see a little boy's wang going everywhere.
Thank God.
It was funny, but still.
What Simpsons?
The movie?
The Simpsons movie. There's only one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't want to see it.
But it was funny.
That's a good choice. I didn't think about animated wangs, but.
There's not a lot of them.
Thank you for bringing it to the table. Yeah. Actually, when we get to our Twitter followers, Ed, they're going to follow you up on something there. There's actually more than one.
Right.
My number three, see if you can remember this scene. I'm talking about Hall Pass. There's a scene in Hall Pass where Owen Wilson passes out in the hot tub, and two naked men, one of them's Irish, one of them's not Irish, come to rescue him.
I know what you're talking about.
Thank you. That's my number three.
Right. You're right.
It's way too much Wango to Django time on that one.
It was just awful.
It's Wango Unchained.
You laugh at him, but not when I say it.
That's a good joke. Wango Unchained. And
I said Wango Unchained.
That's a good joke.
Is there an inside joke there? Yeah. Matt, patron saint of quality out of where, Matt St. Poncho. What's your number two?
I'm going to just say Tommy Wiseau in the Room.
Gross. Oh,
so gross. I got so many more.
That is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
In your whole life?
That's something else. Max, you going to back him up on that one? That's
for
a
my
nude
number
scene.
Two?
Well, that's just a nude scene you wish you'd never see again.
Ever.
It's not for my number two.
What's your number two?
My number two is another Robin Williams movie, World's Greatest Dad. At the very end, he strips his clothes off at the middle of the high school or whatever, and he jumps in the pool, and it's like, whoa.
Why?
Robin Harry Williams again. I mean, this guy could play Chewbacca with his clothes on. For crying out loud. Jeez Louise.
Have not seen this. You like this film.
I love the movie. It's a great movie. I wish more people would watch it.
You know it's on Netflix.
I know. I've seen it a couple of times.
Let me scratch my beard and go, let me see here. That might happen. You're beckoning.
Yeah, you may all be forced to watch a naked Robin Williams not too long from now.
Where are we at now? We're over to me. Yeah, to James. Hard Sub Savage, what is your top three, number two, nude scenes you wish you'd never seen?
Harold and Kumar, Guantanamo Bay, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, The Bottomless Party.
Explain this. I have not seen this.
They go to a party in Miami, and it's one of their Jewish friends from college. He's obviously very rich, and he's having this party, but it's not a topless party. It's a bottomless party. So there's all these hot chicks, and they're bottomless, and they're in the hot tub. The guy, the host of the party, stands up out of the hot tub, and he's got like Chewbacca mound of hair that drags down with he's very Orthodox Jewish, and it's like got curls and stuff.
Okay, come on.
Does he have the little curls?
Right? Oh, no doubt.
Like, right. No, I mean, his bush, it really just like hangs down to his knees, man. It's like, why?
Wow.
Why do you got to show us that?
Kill me, Rabbi. Kill me now. All right, number two.
And Freak Show.
The greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast. That's Adam the Bomb Rogers.
I'm going Watchmen because that was walking big blue around everywhere.
I thought about that. That is like 600 feet of Wang.
That's like all animated. That's
I thought about that. Me. I thought I about too. That. Yeah. I don't. I didn't think about it.
I don't know.
It's such a great movie think too. About
it. It's an okay movie.
It's an okay movie.
Let me tell you something about that film. That is probably the best first 5 minutes of film I've ever seen. That is a great intro.
Oh, the great credits were great.
Fantastic.
Almost as good as the credits for Casa de Mi Padre.
All right, my number two. You know what this is? I'm going a little bit, not so much in the comedy vein, but you'll know that this is a great choice because you'll know the scene when I say it, and I'm talking about The Shining.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually going to be one.
That was on my list.
That was almost taken number one.
That is an awful nude scene.
It still
scene.
Grosses me out. I almost throw up every time.
Do you remember the first time you saw that?
It ruined me.
I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Look at that hot chicken.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What about you, Savage? You know the scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite
I
a scene.
I think everybody knows.
That is a nude scene that you never want to see again. That's my number two.
Well, I'd like to see half of it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but what about the hot chick?
Watch the edited TV version.
Oh. The edited TV version is terrible. It's like she's got this phantom steam bath following her around.
Like ectoplasma.
Yeah, what is this?
I've seen that.
Where do I get one of those?
All right, we're talking about the top three nude scenes in films I wish we'd never see ever again. Inspired by the film we talked about, which is 2012, Casa de Mi Padre. Number one, aren't we there yet? Are we at number one?
Yeah. Yes.
Matt St. Hoodie, what is it?
I don't want to say I love this scene, but it was hilarious. The Bo-Rat wrestling. I always say it wrong.
Bo-Rat.
I don't know where I'm from. I don't know where that accent. Bo-Rat.
Kazakhstan, maybe?
Yes. The wrestling.
Right.
That was hilarious. It was so funny, but it was just so wrong.
The best part about that scene was they didn't have to blur out the big fat dude because his fat rolls covered it. And then on Borat, they had like that black line that looked like it was like 14 inches long.
Like it was the blue man from Watchmen?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Right. All right, what's your number one, Max?
Number one is Tommy Wiseau. Absolutely worst nude scene ever made. I mean, he just groans and puking in the audience. Oh, do we have to? And then they show it twice.
The same thing.
You know what? Let me just get mine out of the way because I want to talk about it again in a minute. My number one is Tommy Wiseau and Lisa from The Room. It really is.
I don't know why I thought I was going to be original on that one with this.
So did I. Didn't that tick you off? You guys do that to me every top three.
I thought everybody would forget about it.
They won't get me here. Yeah. Room. All right. So, because of that, you know what, Max? We have to give an honorable mention because our number one is no longer valid. What is your number one?
I'm going to have to go Viggo Mortensen, Eastern Promises.
Yeah.
The steam bath, nude knife fight. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy was doing high kicks and splits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's like spread cheek nude
in
this thing.
Yeah, with bells hanging out all over the place.
Bells. Producer, unveil your cartoon number one. What is it?
Most of y'all probably have never seen this except for Max. I know he has. ABCs
Shocker.
Of Death, letter L.
What is it?
It's Love it's death. Sick and disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't it's want to disgusting. Know any more about this scene. That sounds disgusting. I hope I never see it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you did.
Right.
Yeah, and I won't watch it.
Do you have your number one?
Yeah, I do have my number one.
We're gonna switch. We're gonna switch on over to James Hartsup Savage. What is your number one nude scene you wish you'd never see again?
I'm with Hoodie again. I mean, he and I are kismet tonight. It's Borat. Him and Davidian, man. It's like they rummage through this hotel. I mean, shocking everybody, and like, and then the wrestle on the bed.
Just awful.
But if I have to give a shout out, and I'm gonna, I gotta give one to the ladies, and we've been talking about dudes, Kathy Bates and About Schmidt.
That's where I was going to go.
Yeah. You know.
We can't not mention that. It's one of the worst.
What about the, there's something about Mary when the old
Tahas. Nope. Tatas would be going.
Kathy Bates.
I'm gonna give a shout out to another number one. If it wasn't that, I'm gonna go with Willem Dafoe and Antichrist. You know what I'm talking about in the beginning? Yeah, not
that
for
wasn't
me.
Him. That wasn't him though.
It doesn't matter. Prostates. I don't want to see that again. Isn't that the concept of the scene?
Yeah, you do.
Hey, let's talk.
It was in black and white with classical music. We established this.
It was classy. Yeah. It was classing up the joint.
You know, really, it was kind of a classy scene. Look.
Yeah, come on. It was tastefully
done.
Dang
it, put that scene on again. I want to see this.
I told you.
All right, so there are our top three nude scenes we wish we'd never have. Well, I guess we wish we'd never seen. Ever, ever, ever. I didn't realize that we could have also named this the Harvey Keitel Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because half the people came back with a Harvey Keitel something or other.
That was the first thing Max said when I said that.
And it was funny because none of us mentioned that. I thought we would. Rob X at Rob X is a Beast. The Flasher and Observe and Report. Anybody seen it?
Didn't see it.
Is it bad? Enough of that. Film Dispenser said at Film Dispenser said Kathy Bates and About Schmidt. Justin G at the Naked _ Nerd said, "Gotta be Mr. Chow in Hangover 2 and 3.
Oh yeah, Chow. How did we forget that?
I'm not even sure which one it was. Tried to block out those sequels. Raphael P at Han RAFO said, "Buffalo Bill Shivers."
Oh yeah,
Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Nanx H said, "Harvey Keitel in The Piano. Harvey Keitel in Bad Lieutenant. Harvey Keitel in anything." Jamie Meyer at JJ Meyer 35, great last name, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's spelled M-E-I-E-R.
Uh-oh.
Ken Jeong in The Hangover.
Yep.
Mostly because I work with someone who looks just like him, and the image is pretty much stuck in my head. Bubba Wheat at Bubba Wheat says Dolph Lundgren and The Punisher. Suggestive themes at N-E-O-L-A-L-I-A-S. Yeah, whatever it is. Just slow it down. You can write it out.
Slow it down.
It's almost Spanish.
In the Cut, Good God. At Rayo Sender says The Shining, Hangover 1 and 2, Bad Lieutenant. Bobby K at Kid Minneapolis says the Redhead Nun in Bad Lieutenant. She's just been assaulted, but she's really hot. But then again, she's a nun.
She's
so much shame.
She's just been assaulted, but she's really hot.
So there you go. Yeah. He says, yeah,
I'm
so
shocked
much.
No one brought up Boogie Nights.
Yeah, Boogie Nights.
Yeah, but that's not gratuitous at all.
Yeah, I don't think those are scenes you mind seeing again.
Yeah, that's subject matter.
The only thing I can remember is Heather Graham.
That works. Man, that works.
He whips it out.
Yeah.
Enough of whipping stuff out. Let's we're going to whip out our big reveal.
Yeah, right. Let's whip that out.
It's time to whip out the big reveal.
Interesante.
That's our breakdown of that film there, 2012, Casa de mi Padre, along with our top three nude scenes we wish we'd never see again, never, ever, ever.
Never, ever, ever.
And let's talk about next week's show. This is interesting because we're going to step outside of our little inner circle here.
No, we're going to revisit the Sixth Man.
We're going to, the Sixth Man or woman.
Exactly.
Savage, what are you trying to say?
No, we're going to revisit it.
We're an equal opportunity employer here.
That's right.
We're talking about Kelly O'Neill at Kelly U-A-I-N-E, Kelly Uane. Now we're sitting there talking one day saying, hey, let me get someone from Twitter to pick a film for us.
Sure.
There she is. She's cool. This is a cool girl. Want to tell you why she's cool? She's an Irish-Italian, latte-addicted, hot, couture-loving, but can't afford it filmaholic who co-runs at U of A Film Society. She's Canadian, Edmonton, Alberta. That is Kelly O'Neill.
Right.
She's an enigma too, because she's Canadian, but she likes the Bruins.
I have a theory, and I'm going to get with her on this. Let me tell you why. It's because it had to have been taken when the Bruins played the Canucks.
All right, enough hockey talk.
Now, she's from Edmonton, which means she
hockey
hates...
Talk.
No,
hockey talk.
No, I got to follow.
It's enough hockey talk.
She hates Vancouver. That's all I'm going
to
say.
We're running out of time.
All right. Okay, so, yeah, you know what she says? She says, let's talk about the film that a lot of people want us to talk about, and that is I Saw the Devil, 2010 Korean film. Guys, I saw it. Did you?
No. I'm watching.
Adam's been trying to pick this one for years.
Yeah, no one's
for years.
So when she said, "Hey, talk about this film," I said, "All right, man, giddy up."
All right,
I'm gonna get on my hobby horse and my semi-automated stuffed hobby horse.
Fake tiger,
whatever.
Most awkward sentence ever.
Yeah, that was very strange.
Right.
But yeah, we're gonna talk about that next week, and that is referred to by Kelly O'Neill at Kelly U A I N E.
All right,
Twitter appreciation episode. That's next week. Right. This was our Casa de mi Padre show.
Feels good. I feel good.
You feel good about it?
It was good.
Yeah.
Good I feel time. Like I should say good something times. In Spanish.
Let's don't. Just... That... All right, go for it. Well, last
adios.
Time. Last time.
Adios, amigos.
That was good. Let's say it better.
Adios. Adios, amigos. Adios.
Gracias. Gracias, amigos.
Muchachos.
Gracias, amigos and amigas.
Y buenas noches.
That there. See you next week.
Ciao.
Con atención, damas y caballeros. Les traigo el sabor mundial. El día amaneció con un cielo despejado. Sacar la sabía mía en la tierra asombrado. La hambruna ha tomado y los dientes no traen nada. Me hace sentir un poquito aislado. Todo lo que yo
agarrar la cosecha para la gente que nunca va a terminar. Fue mi desesperación o inspiración que resultó en la reconciliación entre cima y valle. Camino como calle, soy lo que soy y doy lo que doy. No puedo respirar este aire quemado, ambiente desapasionado y desarreglado. Pero yo nací, yo fui, puso aquí promesas. La vida parece tan lejos de mí, aunque yo no soy guajiro ni campesino. Yo entiendo la tierra.